The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we're going to look at what's ahead in the real estate market in Newfoundland for 2020. Is it a buyer's market, a seller's market? What can people expect if they're looking to sell their home or if they're looking to get in a home for the first time? Joining me for the discussion today is Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with REMAX Limited, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. Thanks for joining me today, guys.
Thanks for having us, Nancy.
Nice to be here.
Always a pleasure.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys had to say and what we can expect for 2020. The market's been a bit crazy for the last couple of years, some ups and downs. And I think for 2019, Chris, we saw a reduction in housing prices. So I'm interested to see what you think will hold for 2020. And spring's just around the corner, of course. Thank goodness. I'm sure everyone
are you sure?
That's listening.
I don't know. If you look at today, I'm not sure.
Is hoping for an early spring for sure. But I'd like to hear from you, Chris, to start off. Like, is it a buyer's market right now? Is it a seller's market right now?
Yeah, we talked about this last year. We were definitely in a buyer's market. There was, and a buyer's market, of course, would mean that there's lots of inventory for the demand. And that hasn't really, it hasn't changed, but it is definitely starting to go in the other direction. I'm seeing positive growth over comps over last year. Now, the last 2 years, we've definitely surpassed that in 2019. So we're on a positive trend when it comes to actual sales percentage.
Which is good.
And the number of sales this year, I mean, since July, we've been over sales for last year's same time period. So July, August, September, October, November, December, we're all over last year's numbers. But there's still pressure on existing home sales. And non-existent new construction. That's gone. For the most part, unless it's a smaller price range, but we're definitely still in a buyer's market. But it's definitely it's leveling out. I predicted last year that we would level out and we would start to see things go in a more positive trend. And this year, it showed that we were down -2 for the entire year when it comes to average sales. That's your what you're getting for a property, and 11% over a number of sales in the market to the year before. So it's the best year we've had in 3 years. 17, 18 were terrible, and 19 was much, much better.
Which is good news for those looking to sell their house.
Definitely more positive than it has been.
Popular time, right, for people to put their houses on the market, or where it used to be anyways. The springtime would be more popular for people to look at selling their home versus in the middle of winter.
Well, I mean, middle of winter, I mean, the percentages are the same. If you look at the number of listings in the middle of the summer, you're looking probably, say, June, for example, last year was 2,200. Now in December, there's 1,400. So you have less competition. So you can look at it that way. The percentage really hasn't changed. The number of sales, too, is still 10%. People think that everything that gets listed sells, and it doesn't. It's 1 in 10. That number is pretty well the same right across the board, winter or summer, because the number of listings go up. There might be more buyers on the go, but you've got more competition.
Right.
So wintertime's not a bad time to list. It all comes down to being realistic when it comes to price. We are still seeing some pressure on price, existing homes, and we've seen a shift to the lower priced existing homes and a better quality home for the price. That's what we're seeing out there. So. Unfortunate for sellers, though. It's still a tough market.
They may not get what they're hoping to get for the home should they put it in the market.
Yeah, all statistics aside, at the end of the day, for a seller, it's still a frustrating market. It's still a tough market. When I have those tough conversations, and I talk to a lot of agents out there, it's right across the board, it's those conversations are never great ones because they've got to come to a reality they're not going to get what they expect for their house. If they're in a position where they have to sell, then there's they're going to lose some money here.
That's
in this
tough
market still.
Yeah.
There's still a bit of pressure. But if they don't have to sell, what I'm having conversations with is hang tight. Just wait for a little bit. And hopefully the market will continue to improve as it has been. The last 6 months has been strong.
Right.
And I'm optimistic that we're going to see a slight change this year, I think, in what the value of a house. But other than that, I think the market's going to continue to grow. And as inventories come down, then prices will start to rebound.
And Joan, are you seeing any impact in your business for people who maybe are trying to sell a home to get into, like up, upscale their house kind of thing, and they're not getting what they want for their house, is that impacting their ability to finance at all?
Definitely. Excuse me. Most people, of course, you know, some are in a position to be able to buy without actually selling.
Right.
But again, they don't want to get caught in that trap in case they do have to carry both homes mm-hmm. for any extended period of time. So most are, you know, doing the subject to the sale of existing type of thing. So yeah, that's very common to see. But the phone is ringing. There's lots of people looking for pre-approvals and looking at houses and getting ready to mm-hmm. buy houses. It's a very active market, yeah. even with the 5 feet of snow that's on the ground.
Yeah, that certainly plays a role. I mean, yeah. our business in January slowed down.
Yeah.
It can't help itself with that
oh,
kind of snow.
No one yeah, could get out right. to look
I've
at it.
I've got anything. A couple of buyers that are ready to go, financially ready to go, and actively looking. And then this mess started. And then yeah. they kind of just said, well, we'll wait a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So and I've also had, I've had people even in competing offer situations recently.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
That are, wow. are paying full list price and even a little bit over just to kind of seal the deal. But I'm seeing more of that, I find, in the last few months even.
If they price it correctly to start with.
Yes.
That's the key.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, we all think our houses are worth more than they are. I mm-hmm. think we're all guilty of that. But like Chris said, if they're priced right to begin with. But I am seeing competing offers when, you know, people are talking to me about their financing.
That's really good to hear, actually, because that does sound promising for the market. Because lots of time when you think of a buyer's market, you think you're not going to have to overpay or even pay list price when you're looking at a property.
Right.
Or that might be the perception that buyers would have, right?
Well, they're still coming in with aggressive offers. I mean, I'm still seeing offers a lot lower than the list price. But I think, you know, when it comes to buyers out there, it's about finding the right product so they're willing to take their time. Mm-hmm. And they're traveling more. They're not staying in one particular part of the city. They're willing right. to go everywhere. And if you look at different pockets of the city, there are still inventory issues when we don't have enough product to fit that particular client, and they're being very, very specific about their list of wants, mm-hmm. and they're not willing to get rid of any of those.
Yeah.
So that then again limits it. I've got a couple of clients that just want East End, or just want a two-story with this many home or bedrooms, or a big backyard with a green space. And if they don't get that, they're not buying.
Right.
So they're willing
they're
to
limited.
Wait.
Yeah.
And that's a motivation.
So what
definitely
are the hot markets of the city, Chris? Like, what are the areas of the city that are hot right now where there's a lot of people looking to buy that maybe we don't have the inventory that you could sell if you had the listing?
Well, I mean, I think the under 300 is still, it's a price-driven thing.
Yeah.
It's under 300,000 is still, there's good inventory out there, but there's a lot of inventory that's been still sitting there from last year, year and a half even. But when new homes come on the market and underneath that 300 price range, even they're on the 250 range, it's getting attention. There's yeah. buyers out there waiting to see the right product to come up.
And would that be mostly first-time home buyers?
Yeah. Yeah, for the most part in that price range. You're looking at first-time home buyers for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Still lots of move-up opportunity in this market, though. I still think we'll talk about that, I'm sure, later, but There's opportunity out there. As long as you're realistic about it, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You got to be realistic on your own price, your own home, but you're going to save that and then some on the next house. It's a bigger price range. I've got a few clients in that scenario now, and the tough conversations about what you're going to list your house for.
Right. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to focus on first-time home buyers. And if you're in the market for a new home, our experts are going to have advice for you. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Today's topic is the real estate market here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And with me to discuss it is Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with RE/MAX United, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So, guys, I'd like to talk a little bit about those looking to buy a home and what kind of financing considerations that they should look for as they do that for the first time. And, Joan, one of the main things, I guess, that people would be concerned about is their down payment, because that can be obviously a hefty amount of money. So what should they be considering when they're thinking about their down payment?
So the minimum down payment to purchase an owner-occupied home right now is still 5%. And I know some people are confused sometimes by all the changes that get announced and the proposals of changes that get announced. Mm-hmm. And, of course, with election time, there's always somebody lobbying for changes to the stress tests and the down payments and the amortization. So a lot of people, you know, when they hear that these changes are being lobbied, you know, take it to be gospel and that this is the change that's been made.
Right.
So the down payment minimum still remains at 5% of the purchase price required for an owner-occupied home purchase. So there's other programs for people buying secondary homes or rental investment properties, that sort of thing. So the down payments could vary on those depending on basically everyone's individual situation.
Right.
But for, you know, a property up to a two-unit property, 5% is the minimum down payment. Things change after that. So it's just too much to get into, and there's really no need to talk about all of it because it could be a whole segment for you just to go into it. But if you're buying your first home, whether you're a first-time buyer or a fifth-time buyer, the minimum down payment is still 5% of the purchase price.
So I guess when you go through, and we've talked before about the importance, of course, of pre-qualifying and getting pre-approved so that you know what you're able to afford, that would also go into how much of a down payment you have available, I guess, would come into that, or how much of a down payment you're going to need based on your pre-approval may impact when you're going to search for that house.
I mean, it's all a process, you know, and I think we're going to talk a bit later into this segment about the pre-approval process.
Yep.
But yes, it's all a process, and the pre-approval, you know, is very important to cover all of those aspects and just to have that conversation, you know, with a live body. I think we've talked about in the past that, you know, people are so used to today just going to Google and researching things on their own, and that's great. There's great information there, but I'm still a believer, and it's probably because I'm old, still a believer that the face-to-face conversation, especially with a decision like a home buying decision, the biggest purchase you'll probably ever make in your life, needs to be had one-on-one with an expert. You know, you can get the basics of the conversation and the terminology and some things like that to get you started on the internet. Absolutely, you can. You know, but you still need to sit and talk with somebody. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I can't imagine. I mean, if you look at if you had a $100,000 or $200,000 tax problem, you'd certainly get a chartered accountant involved.
Exactly.
You know, why would you not do that when it comes to making a big decision like this? It's the biggest purchase you'll ever make. And to not have a face-to-face conversation and rely on Google, which we know is unreliable at best. And, you know, it depends on what opinion. There's so many different opinions on Google. So it's so much better to sit in front of someone like yourself with, you know, years of experience.
Yeah,
no, I always say that. And no matter what topic we're talking about on the show, you can't replace sitting in front of someone and use the internet to do your own research to know what questions to ask.
Right.
Exactly.
But don't replace it with sitting down with an expert for whatever it is you're doing. And certainly buying a home, to your point, is a big decision and a lot of money, and you're going to want to make sure you're getting the facts.
Yeah. And any large financial decision, whether it's a purchase or an investment, you know, you can only, like you said, do your research is great because you do then know what questions to ask. But to rely on it solely, you know, I really don't think is a wise idea.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, Joan, last year the federal government introduced the first-time homebuyer's incentive. So what can you tell our listeners about that? Who does it apply to, and does it replace the need for a down payment? Can you use it as your down payment?
No, Nancy, you can't. The program is designed not to create a down payment.
Right.
It is an incentive program. It is for first-time homebuyers. And the first-time homebuyer definition is the same as CRA uses for the withdrawal from the RSPs for first-time home buyers. So they use the same definition, and that's all on the CRA site, of course. But you must be a first-time homebuyer to apply for the incentive. And as I said in the beginning, it's not a down payment. So it's meant to complement the down payment that you already have. So you must already have your own 5% down payment from traditional sources that are acceptable to the lenders and the mortgage insurers as sources of your down payment. And then you can apply for this incentive. So on an existing home, you can apply for another 5% to go with your 5%. So now you have a 10% down payment. And if it's a new home construction, you can choose either an additional 5% or 10% as the incentive application when you do apply for it. There is an application process. There is a qualification process for it. And it is a shared equity program.
Right.
So it's not free money. It's not a grant. You do not pay interest on it. It's not an interest-bearing loan. Whether you do the 5 or the 10%, it's provided to you at the time of closing through your lawyer. It's sent directly through the lawyer. And all the paperwork is done between the lender and the program. And then the lawyer will receive the money. So there is no interest-bearing on the loan. And the expectation of repayment happens at either the sale of the property or after 25 years. Whichever one occurs first is when it's expected to be repaid. And there is no interest, I will reiterate again.
Right, and that is what the benefit is of the program to first-time home buyers, of course, is that it's reducing the amount that you're having to finance through a mortgage, which, of course, does have interest. But it still has to be repaid, as you know.
Exactly. So it will reduce the interest, obviously, like you said, by another $15,000 or so on your loan. There is, a repayment expectation, as I said, but it also will help lower your mortgage payment for you as well. Mm-hmm. So on an average $250,000 mortgage, the 5% or the 10% makes about a $70 difference to your monthly payment overall. As far as that goes as well, with your 10% down payment, then your mortgage insurance fee that you have to pay because you don't have a 20% down payment. Mm-hmm. So the mortgage insurance comes into play and your premium is less at 10% down than it is at 5%. So there's savings to you there as well because the premium, of course, is amortized through the full 25 years of the mortgage. So there's some savings to you there.
You have your down payment. So the next step for everyone should be how much can you afford? And that means pre-approval. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money with BDO here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden. Today we're discussing the real estate market here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And joining me for that discussion is Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with RE/MAX United, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So guys, we talked about the new government program and the incentive, but when it comes to buying a house, of course, Chris, we've talked on the show before about the importance of making sure you know what you qualify for before you actually speak to your realtor and start looking at houses so you're not disappointed. So I'm sure you haven't changed your position on that.
No, it's the first step. If I meet a client or they send me an email or they call me on a home, my first question is, I work with an agent, and the next question is, have you talked to a bank? Because if they haven't gone that far, I may take them out for, look at one or two homes, but we're not going any further until they get out and talk to a banker. Because otherwise, they're looking at homes and they just don't understand what it is they can afford. Mm-hmm. And there's no point in disappointing yourself down the road.
Right. You don't want to get your hopes up. You found your dream home and then find you can't afford it.
And then you write the approval. And you only got a certain window when you write an offer. Mm-hmm. Say if it's 10 business days. It takes time. Right. I mean, if the banker hasn't met you yet and they haven't got the T4s and they haven't got all the stuff that Joan will require, then, you're already behind the eight ball right off the bat. And then if you miss the deadline, the deal could be void.
Right.
It is void.
And then that's going to be a disappointment as well because someone else could swoop in and take that house.
You put your dream home at a jeopardy. It does.
So, Joan, I've heard pre-qualification, I've heard pre-approval. Can you tell our listeners what the difference in those is, or is there a difference?
They kind of tie in together, I guess. Pre-qualification is pretty much the math of it all, mm-hmm. Just to see where you fit with everything, which I guess as is pre-approval. But to Chris's point, the three highlights for me in people coming in and getting pre-approved / pre-qualified is that it sets their expectations for their affordability, as Chris just mentioned, and avoids disappointment. I mean, if the last thing you want to do is get out there and find that perfect dream home for your family and be all excited, write an offer, and then end up in my office to find out, I'm sorry, but you just do not qualify for this amount financially. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's number one. It's the biggest thing that that you can avoid by having those pre-approval conversations. It may also help you if there's a bidding war on the property. So if the property has multiple offers on it and you're walking around waving a pre-approval letter, you know, you're good to go for that amount of money.
Right.
The vendor, the seller may be more apt to take your offer over someone else's offer if they know that your financing has already been solidified, right, and proven. And I guess the third thing in my mind is it locks in an interest rate for you as well, which is very important in an increasing rate environment, you know, because a lot of lenders will give us a 90 or even up to 120 day rate lock-in for you. So while it's locking in the rate, you're not obviously locked to that higher rate should the rates decline within your purchasing time, but it does give you that little bit of insurance that you know, you've got at least a 4 month window to go look for that perfect
down,
home.
You get the new rate.
The rate goes down, they'll get the new rate at
the
time.
To lose.
You get the upside but not the downside.
Exactly. Right. Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people too, as a pre-qualification, I mean, they have something mindset in their mind that they want to buy a $350,000 house, and that sounds like a nice price point to them. And then they sit in front of me and I tell them what the mortgage payment is on that $350,000 house, and you need to add in your property taxes,
right,
and you need to allow for heating cost on that house after coming out of a one bedroom apartment. If it's a condo, you may have other fees. So, you know, sometimes the affordability is not what the math says, but it may be something a whole lot different.
Right. And that's an important point. Like when you're looking at what you can afford, like you can go online and find all these different mortgage calculators and you'll see this payment go, oh yeah, I can afford that. But to your point, you're not, you don't have in there what is the property tax that's going to add to that payment every month. How much has the owner been paying for electricity? And I would say, Chris, that's not set in stone, because some people may use more electricity in their homes than others. But I'm sure you would advise your clients to at least get that information so they have an idea when they're looking at a home.
Well, it helps them, like to Joan's point, to make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
If they have everything in front of them, they understand, okay, here's the payment on a $350,000 house. Here's the potential heating bill, because some people run around with, you know, some people are always with a blanket and sweater on,
right,
and some people go around with the shorts on in the middle of winter. So it all depends on the client. You can rely to some extent on a square footage and looking at what the average payment is on the heating cost. And it comes up more often than not, because it has to be a part of your decision.
Yeah,
bigger house means bigger heat bill.
Afford it. Yeah.
And then oil bill compared to electric bill and all those things come into play. But you make a better informed decision if you do the number one thing, which is talk to an expert like Joan. Now, not all bankers are created equal as real estate agents. Some will give you a pre-approval, but that's not really a pre-approval. You need to, if they don't ask for, and Joan, I think you'll agree with this, if they don't ask for all the T4s and all that information up front and then do the pre-approval, it's a whole lot different than saying, give me a pay stub, look at that and go, okay, but they don't do a credit bureau. They don't check everything out.
Yeah, and going back, I think, to Nancy's initial conversation started around pre-qualification versus pre-approval.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Pre-qualification, someone could say to me, I make $120,000 a year and I have a $400 car payment. How much can I qualify for?
Right.
That's an easy math to do. Mm-hmm. Get out your calculator or whatever and do the math for them. But the pre-approval, I guess, is more intense than that.
Right.
It's how do you make that money? Is it all salary? Is there commission in there? Is there bonuses in there? And all those things do affect the usage of someone's income.
Right. And it's important for people to understand that, because if you're pre-qualified, you may still run a risk, I guess, that when you go through the formal approval process, you could get denied. It might be less likely than if you didn't go for a pre-qualifier at all. But what you're going to want to do is get that pre-approval so you have the peace of mind.
Definitely.
Right? Well, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other costs that go into buying a home. There's closing costs and they can add up quickly. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm Nancy Snedden. We're talking about real estate in Newfoundland today, and joining me for that discussion is Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with REMAX United, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So, Chris, when your clients come to you and they're looking to buy a home, and of course, you're going to tell them that, as we discussed, you should get pre-approved so you know what you can afford, but I'm sure you also talk to them about the costs that they're going to need to have out of pocket when it comes time to close on that property.
Yeah, I mean, there's a misconception out there of trying to sell a home or buy a home. There's two different costs, and when you're buying a house, it's a lot more money, because you've got to register the deed, you've got to register the mortgage. The lower cost is pretty well the same for both.
Mm-hmm.
But to give you an example, I've got a client who's looking at selling the house for, in the high threes, to sell the house, it's about $1,400. Right. They're buying a house for 415. That is now 4,700.
Right.
So if they haven't done the math on that and haven't added that into their budget as to their 5% plus that cost, then it becomes a stressful time for them, because they got to figure out whether or not they need to cash RRSPs or, and that's what I say about being informed, right, knowing what you're going into before you write that offer. And they found the perfect house, but it's stressful now because they got to figure out how they're going to make this work.
Right. And Joan, I guess that's important for people to understand too, that that's not going to be part of what you're approving them for in the mortgage. That is an additional cost that's out of pocket for them,
absolutely,
that they need to come up with on their own.
And it should also be part of, it is part of mine, but it should also be part of your pre-approval conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Great, you've managed to save the 5% down payment. However, there are other fees involved.
Yeah.
And the rule of thumb, which all the mortgage insurers basically use, and as a lender, we have to provide to them, along with your down payment, we have to prove to them that you have at least 1.5% of your purchase price in pocket to cover those legal fees, closing costs. Now, a lot of times that is able to be a borrowed portion of the transaction,
mm-hmm,
but if it's going to be a borrowed portion on a credit line or something like that, then it also needs to be taken into consideration in your debt servicing. So
right,
it's, if it's going on a credit line, it's $5,000, and that adds another debt into the ratios and the calculation of your pre-approval. So it should always be part of your pre-approval conversation as well.
Right.
Yeah, there's the other things that you don't think about when you move into a home. If it's an existing home, which is what's driving our business right now, is existing homes. You're going to want to paint. You may want to get new appliances.
Right.
You're going to need new furniture.
New curtains.
You need curtains. You need blinds. All those things add up. They just do.
Yeah.
And there's a home inspection aspect too. When you sell your house, you get a home inspection. They're going to be doing on your house. You're going to cost you money to fix things. It's a home inspection on the new house. I do not suggest buying any house without a home inspection. It's $650 that you need to plan for.
Right.
So those are all the little things that come up, and you have to be prepared for it.
Yeah, there also may be appraisal costs associated with your approval on the mortgage once you find your house, depending on your financing.
Right.
A lot of times those costs are covered by mortgage insurers if mortgage insurers are involved.
Mm-hmm.
But again, depending on the type of financing you're looking for and seeking, the lender may require some form or sort of an appraisal on, mm-hmm, the property, which is another $500. So it's a couple of immediate out-of-pocket costs that could run you $1,000 or so,
yeah,
just in securing the property and the approval.
But none of those would be surprises if you sit in front of an experienced realtor, an experienced banker.
Absolutely.
Right.
None of that's going to be a surprise.
Right. And this is information that you're only going to get by talking to someone to find out with your particular situation, what are you looking at? You're not going to find that on Google. Or if you are, it's
no,
not going to be that reliable.
And I mean, Google will talk a lot about land transfer tax and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's not applicable in Newfoundland.
No.
So again, it's deceiving information.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk to a breathing human to really get the true costs.
Yeah, and it needs to be an expert. It can't be a family member that might have some experience. If it's your second or third home, you get this. You understand what's going to happen. But if you're a first-time home buyer, you know, it just makes absolutely no sense not to sit in front of the experts.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And not listen to all the stuff that's out there, because social media, my God, it's full of lots of opinions and what you should do or shouldn't do.
On
and,
everything.
Not all of it's, yes, great.
Yeah, no, I
not
had someone
just buying a house
yesterday, and we were talking about their options with proposals and bankruptcies, and I described their situation to them, and they said, well, I talked to so-and-so, and they said that this is what they did when they filed for bankruptcy. And I said, you know, you can't compare one to the other, because
right,
every single person is going to have a different experience, because
yeah,
it's based on too many different
And even
factors,
with the mortgage,
right?
People will say, well, how come it's that way? My buddy or my coworker got this or did this. Or
right.
It's an individual fit.
Mm-hmm.
It has to fit you, not what your neighbor did.
Right.
It's an open
your budget's
society.
Different.
It's
your
different.
Debt ratio is different. Like, there's all kinds of things that could come into it that would change your situation to your neighbor's or your buddy's.
Exactly.
So, Chris, I'd like to go back to the market today. So if someone contacted you today and said that they wanted to list their house,
mm-hmm,
would you say, given it's a buyer's market, it's a good time for them to list? Should they hold off? What's your advice?
If they're listing the house with the intention of buying another house, say stepping up to a bigger home, as long as they're realistic, and you know, 2017-18, we dropped 10% on average.
Mm-hmm.
The higher the price point, the bigger the drop. So if you're under 300,000, under 200,000, even the drop wasn't as big for you. It didn't hurt you as much. But the volume, even though it might be smaller, it's still, there's not as much equity as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of play here. If they're looking to step up, if they have the equity in the home, they put a decent down payment. Anybody who bought past 2011 could argue that they paid too much right. for a house because the market has dropped in the last 2 years. So everybody's feeling the pinch. If they're stepping up, yeah, I mean, realistic on their own price with the expectation of trying to break even or at least come out with, and I've had these conversations and people don't call me back. They just call me, ask me, what do you think my house is worth? I go, well, first of all, you have to look at the market where it is. And then I don't necessarily get a call back, but it's the reality is where right. it's at.
Yeah.
So, but if they're stepping up to the next one, then they'll save on the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are big, big savings out there. You can save $40,000, $50,000, $80,000. Easy on some of these bigger priced homes.
Right. And that's, I guess that's the important point for people to remember is that although you may be not getting as much for the house that you're selling as you had hoped, mm-hmm. you're also buying into that lower price market as well.
And we can talk about, you know, how they get their house ready. If they have to sell, we can certainly talk to that, I'm sure, as we get move forward here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get right into that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden, Licensed Insolvency Trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guest in studio today is Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with RE/MAX United and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So, Chris, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about, is it a good time for people to put their house on the market? And I guess if you're trying to get the best bang for your buck, there are certain things that you can do to improve the value of your home.
Yeah. I mean, in this kind of market, I wouldn't be spending big money. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily get it back. Simple things like decluttering. Get rid of things. My God, you want the house to look as big as it possibly can. Countertops, mm-hmm. clear them out. And, you know, you don't want things all over the place. The less you can have in a room, the better. I mean, you want it staged, like you would think a stage. You have to stage your home. You have to take time. You have to clean. You have to make sure the house is perfectly clean. It has to be painted where it needs to be painted. Get rid of clutter. Outside of the house is really important in this market. It's changed. I mean, years ago, people would, you know, they call and ask a realtor to go show them the house. Nowadays, they Google it and they go drive by.
Right.
If they don't like what they see, they don't buy it. Mm-hmm. So you have to spend time out front. You have to take the time to make sure the grass is clean, cut. And, you know, if you're going to winter time like this, then you want driveways and walkways cleared. And, you know, want the house to look as good as possible. And then once they get inside, simple things. So if I walk into a house with a client, there are clients out there who will have a real problem with air fresheners, really strong scented air fresheners.
Mm-hmm.
There are clients out there who, if a house is dirty, they'll walk out. So any excuse whatsoever in this market, you can't give them one. So you need to walk to the house before you list as a buyer and say, what do I not like about my own home? And be realistic about it. And then when it comes to pricing, be realistic about the price. We dropped 10% in the last 2 years. If you expect to get what you paid for it in 2014, plus what you're going to cost to sell it, then you're being unrealistic. You might have to wait.
Right.
And I've had that conversation quite a bit too. So.
And I guess you need to be open to the feedback, right? If they're going to ask you for your advice, don't
yes.
be offended by you
right.
should paint this or you should clean this or declutter that.
Like yeah.
You're trying to help them at the end
I
of
try
the
to do it as tactful as possible, but yes, in a yep. nice way.
So, Chris, we've talked about how people can look at improving their home before listing it to get the best bang for their buck, but mm-hmm. what do they need to understand about what goes into pricing their home?
Well, the first mistake they make is they go on Google, they go on MLS or Realtor.ca, and they start looking at active listings, which frankly can be pie in the sky. Why you hire an expert is that I can pull all the sold data and I can sit in front of you and say, okay, this was listed for $319, but it sold for $279.
Right.
And then they look at and compare their property to all the other properties that are out there that are listed higher, and they think that they should be the same. And they don't listen to what a realtor will tell them with regards to that. So the first step is that when you do a market evaluation, be realistic and sit there and listen and understand this, what's happening with the market. And then if you look at the sale, the sold listings are the key here. It's about what's selling. The active listings are only your competition.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not beating your competition, you're not going to win.
Right.
You're not going to get house sold.
Well, you said earlier, 1 in 10 sells, right?
Right. So you're going to sit on the market forever. And eventually what will happen is that you'll keep reducing the price, and then you'll be stale on the market, and then you'll end up getting less than what you should have got.
Mm-hmm.
because people think something wrong with it after 10 months.
Right.
Or 8 months or longer in some cases this year, this last couple of years. So there's no doubt that, looking at the sold listings out there and what they looked at is, square footage and then the quality of the home, the location of the home. It all comes down to the location again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the best way to make an informed decision and not look at what's listed out there and say, my home's better than that one. I should be up this price range. Because
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't – you need to rely on the experts.
Right.
And the person that you've hired to do the work for you.
And I think that that comes back to what we're saying, right? You need to talk to a professional, not just try to do it yourself. And I know that you would recommend always using a realtor, not trying to do it on your own, looking for a house to buy a house on your own without a realtor, or looking to sell your house without a realtor.
Yeah, it was like the earlier conversation we had. If you had a $200,000 tax problem, you'd certainly call a chartered accountant mm-hmm. to deal with it. You wouldn't do it yourself by looking up on Google.
No, that's right.
And I wouldn't want
to
buy.
Or hope you're not going to do that anyway.
I mean, our average price is, what, $273, $289,
mm-hmm.
Depending on which statistics you look at. But we're $289. I mean, I would not want to buy a $300,000 house by informing myself through Google and not using an expert when, frankly, buying a house with a realtor is the best decision you can make.
Right. And, in fact, you may overpay if you're not getting the advice of your realtor on what an offer should look like.
Our job is to navigate you through this complicated process because it is complicated.
Absolutely.
Every day is complicated. It's always different.
So, Joan, I'm going to ask you a similar question. So if someone, has a bank that they've been dealing with for years, what's the benefit of calling someone like yourself that's a mortgage broker versus just going to their bank and using a mortgage specialist there?
Well, I'm always a strong advocate of second opinions,
mm-hmm.
And as consumers, we're, I think, prone to just go back to habitually to people that we've always dealt with. And that's great. I have no problem with relationships either.
Yeah.
But they're just more precious these days. People just don't make those relationships in banking, especially in other areas for sure, like they used to years ago.
Yeah.
And of course, within the banking system, and not bashing them because that is my history, personnel has changed. There's a lot of turnover now, and those relationships you once had are no longer there. So, you often hear the commercials and ads every time you go into an institution now, there's a different advisor, mm-hmm. In front of you,
yeah.
And that's not to say, if you go to a mortgage broker versus you're an individual bank or institution, it's a one-stop shop sort of thing. So as a broker, I can do all that research and shopping for you. I have 20 plus lenders at my hand, so I can walk you through the process without you having to do all the individual research. And the hours are generally more flexible as well than your typical, 9-to-5 banking institutions.
Right. And important for people to know, too, that you may be checking 20 different lenders. That's not impacting their credit report because you're checking so many times because it's all under the one type of transaction.
That's absolutely correct. I pull a credit bureau and all of my lenders use the bureau that I supply to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The other thing about us too is that as realtors, we can show any house on the market to you regardless of who has it listed.
Right.
Some people think that they have to call a listing agent in order to see it because it's with a different, Coldwell Banker or
with a different
or Remax or wherever. Mm-hmm. But no, we can show you any house in the city regardless.
Well, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to have some time for some final thoughts.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money with BDO. I'm Nancy Snedden. I'm joined in studio today by Chris O'Leary, Realtor with RE/MAX United, and Joan Flood, Mortgage Advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. There's a secondary market, I guess, that we haven't really covered, and that's someone who's looking for a cottage or cabin. And I know with the winter that we've had and spring, as we said, around the corner, people might be thinking, maybe this is the year that I'm going to look for that cottage or cabin. So, Chris, what's the market like for those types of properties right now?
There's opportunity for sure. Inventories are still strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And prices have like the city, it's taken a toll the last couple of years. It's all about location when it comes to recreational properties. But it's a complicated sale. There's a lot involved with cabins. There's well issues that come into play, septic systems that come into play. If you want, ideally, to be on a lake or a pond, but mm-hmm. you need to make sure the depth of that pond or lake is any good to you. I've had that scenario where, looking at properties and the lake is just not deep enough to do anything in.
Right. Visually, it looks great.
Yes, looks great, but it's no good to you. Distance to travel, are you willing to travel? Further you go, like it is in the city, further outside the city I go, the better the house I'm going to get for my money. Same thing with cottages, not much different. Depending on the location, if you get on the bigger lakes, then you're going to pay top dollar. You're paying $300,000-$400,000 sometimes for a cottage that's on a lake that's a hefty lake. If it doesn't have water, it's a problem. It's a real problem. It depending on the foundation, becomes a problem for bankers as well.
And so it's probably even more important, or just as important as buying your house, as if you're buying a cottage, to get that right advice.
Yeah, year-round access.
Yep.
Dug well, foundation issues, lakefront. I think, if you can get on a pond or a lake, by all means, but you're going to pay $200+ for that. If you want something that's in the woods somewhere, then yeah, you'll be okay at $150. If you want something without water, yeah, you'll get one lower than that. But there's all these anemones will have a price. It all plays into it, right? So artesian, dug well, all the different aspects of these cottages. They can be wonderful, but they can be a lot of work and headache too.
So Joan, from your perspective, if someone's looking to buy a cottage or a cabin, what should they be thinking about from a finance perspective? Is the process different?
It's not a whole lot different. It's probably even more important for them to have that conversation, mm-hmm. With a professional and check out their finances and get that pre-approval, because now they're adding a second household onto their primary household. Mm-hmm. So obviously you would have to qualify to carry both households. Not a situation where you're selling a house to buy up or buy down. You're now going to be maintaining both properties. Are there carrying charges other than the mortgage payment? Are there property taxes? Are there snow clearing and charges and fees for the property you're buying? As far as the down payment goes, you can buy a secondary home or recreational home with a 5% down payment. But again, and that could change, to some of Chris's points, with various lenders based on accessibility. And is there a central heating system? And mm-hmm. is there a potable water supply? Mm-hmm. All those sorts of things. And most lenders all have different variations of what they will and won't do, which again is why a broker can help you with that, because we have access to so many different lenders. If we come across a property that doesn't have potable water supply or doesn't have a central heating system, that sort of thing, we know who to go to right mm-hmm. away, or we can certainly research and find someone for you to go to. Whereas if you go to your own bank or lender specific, then you're obviously just dealing with their own policies on it, and you may walk away disheartened thinking, I can't buy a cottage. But as a broker, we can certainly investigate different methods of financing and different lenders for you. But the process is very much the same, and like I said, maybe more important because you're doing a secondary residence as well, right, on top of your primary.
So guys, we've got some time now for some final thoughts. I'd like to thank you guys, first of all, for joining me today. Really appreciate it. It's always great conversation. Chris, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today, what would it be?
Again, like last year, I thought that we were going to be looking to a more optimistic market, and that's exactly what happened. I think our market improved when it comes to the number of sales. We're not going to change that pressure on the market until we get through the inventory, right, and the demand was still, still a lot of inventory out there. We had 15 months worth of inventory. It's now down to 12, so that's a big change. In the height of the market, it was 10 months of inventory. We're starting to revive a steady market here. REMAX, for the most part, believes we're going to be dropping, around 2% again this year. But the average
in values,
yeah. But my thought is that I think that that's driven entirely by the number of what's selling. Right. Under 300,000, there's no more new construction. That's a non-existent. Other than Paradise, which is a blip. They're the only one that increased new construction sales or new construction starts last year. And those are lower priced, like $200,000 to $250,000 to $300,000 price range.
Okay.
So I see our market, again, leveling off again. I still think we're going to go through some inventory. We're going to do well. And then as far as the pressure on the market, I think the existing homes will still see some pressure. But we're going to be moving towards more of an existing home market, not new construction, because of that. Condo markets will do well, I think, as long as the condo fees stay realistic.
Well, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Joan, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought.
I guess my final thought is always going back to the pre-approval process and mm-hmm. getting out there. And don't wait till spring. Do it now. I think that was an ad of some company years ago. There's no real reason to sit and wait till March or April when you start to see the snow melting. The snow may not melt till June. Right. let's be real about
especially
that.
Especially this year.
Exactly. Exactly. Get out there today. Have the conversations. If you're wondering or even thinking to yourself, oh, I can't possibly qualify to get a mortgage, go have the conversation. We can help you find ways to create the down payments and save. So start working with professionals today. It's never too early. And get all your ducks in a row.
So if people wanted to reach out to you, Chris, what's the best way for them to do that?
Cell phone, 709-765-7093, or my email at coleary@remaxavalon.ca.
Great. And what about you, Joanne?
My cell phone as well, 709-682-9872, and my email is joan.flood@premiermortgage.ca.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining me today. As always, I'd like to hear from you, my listeners. If you have a comment or question, you can email yourmoney@bdo.ca or you can give us a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, licensed insolvency trustees on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.